of my head. Welcome, everyone. Happy Wednesday. Today is Wednesday, July 20th, 2022. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. Hey, Brina, welcome. Welcome back. How are you? I am doing well. Ninja Bunny, welcome, welcome. Glad you made it today. And Power Girl, welcome to you too. Glad you made it. Okay, I am going to stop it here, I do believe. Okay, so today, having to work twice as hard when you don't have money. When you don't have funds, you have to work twice as hard to achieve your dreams and goals. Is this a true statement, or do rich people also have it hard, but in a different way? So usually, you know, when people want to start their own business or, you know, whatever, welcome, Maverick. So usually when people want to, you know, start their own business and, you know, open something, they first thing they say is, I don't have the money, I can't afford it, because opening up a business does require funds, depending upon what you're going to do. A lot of people, especially since COVID, have reinvented themselves and they've opened businesses in their basements and their garages in that extra room or, you know, wherever. So my question is, do people with means, and when I say with means, because I think we all have means, but with more means than some, and I'm talking financial means, do those people have it easier than people that don't? And on the outside looking in, I guess we could say yes, because, you know, if you want to open up a storefront, you have to have money to have a lease. You have to have money to buy product. But do people with means really have to work twice as hard? Are they working harder in a different way? Like, if people were, like, I don't want to say filthy rich, but they have, you have money. You have money. Do you work twice as hard to keep it? Thank you, Brina, for joining the fan club again. Thank you. So, do people with means, do they have to work twice as hard to keep it? You know, does Warren Buffett, you know, all the, you know, these years, has he worked hard to keep it? Now, supposedly he said that when he passes away, he's not leaving his children all his money, that he's given them some and they, you know, to get them started. But he's not leaving them everything because they didn't make it. So people who have money, are they working hard in a different way to make sure that not only are they keeping their money, but they're keeping their businesses going, whatever? And is it harder for them as opposed to the person who is either just starting out or they've been in business for a while, but they're still just a mom and pop store? And Brina says, I think we all have the same struggles, but rich people have more resources and networking opportunities to keep that money. Okay, so Brina, let's talk about the networking, because I was going to bring that up. Okay, so yes, rich people have the financial resources, but in terms of networking, do we all have networking, you know, people around us that can help us? But maybe we don't know it, or maybe we're not using them to our advantage, or, and I hate to say that because it sounds like you're using them, which you are. But yes, you know, Stephen, you know, Curry can go into a bank, and if he wanted to get a loan or even get investors, because of who he is, not necessarily his money, but because of who he is, he's able to do that. But do we also have those resources? When you have classes and everything, and they're telling you about networking, when you have places where they say, you know, sign up for this because there's going to be someone, you know, Ninja Bunny's going to be there, and she's going to be in investing in business, and she's looking for a business to invest in. Are those also the opportunities that the smaller person needs in order to make it or to achieve your goal? And Brina says, networking is crucial. It's like a credit score. Once you're trusted and prove yourself, it goes a long way. Okay, so Rena says, if Ninja Bunny is there, I'm there. Okay, so Rena, would networking possibly trump being over, you know, having the money? Can you network and have someone who believes in you and you're able to? Okay, Brina says, yes, I think networking would trump having the money. So if you were, and when I say that, I mean, so if Ninja is a billionaire, which she could be, I don't know, and she wants to invest in your business, then you wouldn't really need the money if she's going to do it for you, right? So how many people do you think take advantage of resources that allow you to network? You know, welcome Ba, you know, and also, you know, when you see those shows on TV like Shark Tank and what have you, do you really need, I mean, yes, you have to have something, you have to spend money to have something to go on TV to show, but for things like Shark Tank, do you really need money to achieve your goal if you go on a show like that and they want to invest? So I guess once again, do rich people necessarily have it easier? I mean, on the surface, yes, but do they really have it easier? Welcome, DMAC. Welcome, welcome. Okay, Grit says, I think a lot of people are also weary about taking risks because of scammers. We all know if you don't take risks, you won't get rewards. So do you think that people just starting out who are the mom and pops, that their risks would be more as opposed to someone who has a lot of money? Like, what's the difference between you risking, say, $100,000 that you know, scraped and scrimped to get, as opposed to someone who's, you know, rich and they're risking, you know, they're putting out, say, $10 million. even though they have more money to put out there, is it still a risk for them? So wouldn't the risk be the same? And do you have to take risk in order to get rewards? Can't you just get your reward without taking a risk? Is that possible? Is it possible for, Ninja? Ninja, I don't know why I'm using you as an example, but I am. I'm using you and Brina. So is it possible for Ninja to, you know, she has all this money because she's a billionaire. She's going to risk, you know, a couple of million on Brina's business. Or maybe she's just going to risk it on something else. Wouldn't her risk be equal to the mom and pop who are risking that $100,000? And Grit says, rich people will have more security and safety measures in place. Ninja says, yes, I'm a billionaire. Brina says, a strong work ethic and hustle goes further than just someone with money. A rich person could just deplete all those funds and not know how to bounce back. You have a very good point. You have a very good point. So let's say you win the lotto and you win, let's say, 30 million. Do you think that most people who win the lotto are not able to keep it? They say that most people are, you know, they're back to where they were or worse within 5 years. Supposedly. Do you think that people who win the lotto, they lose their money because they're not used to having it? But then again, what about those people who do have it and they run through it? What about those people who were born with that silver spoon and they've always been rich, but when mom and pop die, they run through this money, and the money that your parents had for generations, or, you know, even for 30, 40 years, you've gone through it, but you've always had it. Brina, I won the lotto before, but nothing big, but I would like to win big. So yes, I would like to win big. New money don't know how to act. But do you think old money does? Or old money in new hands. And that's when I say new hands, I mean, mom and pop have passed away. Grandma, grandpa are gone. And now you have this money, even though you're used to having it. Okay, old money is reckless too. So again, so do people without means have to work harder to achieve their dreams and goals? You just have to work harder, period. We can take out the dreams and goals part. Do rich people have it harder in a different way, or do we all deal with money the same? Do we all deal with, you know, having to hustle? Grit, if you have, yes, definitely, if you have 30 million, Grit says, if I won 30 million, I would probably need a financial advisor. And yes, but I would think that, you know, nowadays, just depending upon what you're doing, you need an advisor. You may not want to go to someone that you don't know, but go to someone who can possibly help you to make sure that you're spending your money the right way. And Grit, you know, you bring up a good point. So at what point should you have an advisor? I mean, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, do you need an advisor to tell you how to save your money or spend your money? And I'm not saying you have to go out and pay someone. But does is living paycheck to paycheck also like, are you living paycheck to paycheck because you're not managing your money the correct way? And if you manage your money, you know, better, that even though you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're able to save. And Brenda says, yeah, we all have to hustle. Learning about financial literacy is so important when you're young. You don't have bad habits. And, you know, Brenda, you know, this is going to get off into another subject, but financial literacy is, I mean, is something that, to me, while everybody's fighting about what should be taught in school, that's one thing that I don't think anybody can say should not be learned, not just in school, but at home. Because when you're 18, and should you happen to be on your own, you need to learn, you need to know how to manage your money. I mean, for me, I had to learn a lesson that my mother so kindly taught me about managing money. And that happened in my early 20s. You know, so people who struggle, and I know there's a lot of people out there today, especially with the way everything is with prices and everything, they are having a hard time. But were some of these people having a hard time when times were not so bad? And if you're constantly struggling, whether gas is $6 a gallon or $2 a gallon, if you don't have the money or the means, or you're not handling your money the right way, either, you know, everything's going to be expensive. Welcome, Aaron. So, let's see. Grit says, I'm living paycheck to paycheck and still able to save, but I think getting some financial advice wouldn't hurt either. So, is that something that you have ever thought of doing, or you've just never done it? Or, and I'm not trying to get into your business. This is all for sake of conversation here. See, D Max says, some people struggle despite making good money decisions. They just don't have enough money. So D Max, okay, so when you say you just don't have enough money, and I don't mean where you've been living in your apartment for 10 years and, you know, the landlord all of a sudden goes up, you know, he says your rent's going to go up by $300 when any other time it was just going up 50. And I say 300 because I have two renters on my block welcome Hanny J, who coincidentally told me that the landlord or the owner or whatever raised their rent by $300, which I thought was crazy. So when you say some people struggle despite making good money decision or financial decisions, when should you start to cut back? And I don't mean necessarily, you know, prices are more, instead of buying the steak, we're going to have burgers, you know, whatever, you know, instead of having bacon, we're not going to have bacon and eggs. We're just going to have eggs. Should everybody cut back on something? So is it the fact that you don't have enough money? And again, I'm not talking about for the essentials like rent and utilities. Is it that we're spending too much money? Is it needs over wants? But then you look at someone who's rich and they can afford to do that. But can they really? Because I think there are a lot of people walking around who people think that they have money and they don't. But that's just me. If you can't afford it, then cut it off. Society can make us want more than we need. Okay, here we go and back to society, what we were talking about yesterday. But Rita, can society, see, I'm about to go back into yesterday's show. Can society make you want more than we need? I mean, can people make you want? I mean, they can make you want. Yes, we all want. I mean, you know, everybody wants something. But how many people actually act on it if they don't have the money? Handy J says, story of my life. It's subliminal. It is. It is. And here's Ba. He's going to come up. And I know he's going to have some conspiracy theory about money. Saving money and the haves and have-nots. Welcome, Ba. Hi. D says, is discipline over lack of discipline? Oh, Brittany, you know I'm right. I know Ba's going to delve into something here. Welcome, Ba.
How's the audio?
The audio is very low.
Okay, I've got the wrong headset on. I'll call back in. Give me 5 minutes.
Okay. Okay, so we're waiting for Bob to call back in. Grit, that's okay. That is okay. You know, it's interesting. When I call in on my iPad, I don't need my headphones, but when I'm on my phone, I do need headphones. So I don't know why that is. Okay. So do you think that everybody who is supposedly worth all this money, that they really have it? And should we envy people who do have it? Here's Ba. Hello, Ba. Hello? I don't hear you. I do not hear you.
Hello? Is that better?
Yes, 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 yes. And Grit said it should motivate you to work harder. And Brina says probably don't. They might be living off credit. Hello? Yes. Yeah. And should we in envy? No, but do we? Yes. Some of us do. So, Ba. Where are we going to go? What rabbit hole are we going to go down?
No, I wouldn't say it's rabbit holes. I think it's just pointing out why everyone, like, it's a sore point.
I'm just
why,
teasing you.
Yeah. So I think, first of all, I'd like to say that the there was an old prime minister of ours, Margaret Thatcher, who I don't know if you're familiar with.
Yep.
She gets a lot of blame for the financial crisis even today, because she passed a law or did something that allowed people to go into like a car dealer or somewhere and take loans for cars. Before her time, you had to have the money up front. You had to be able to pay for something up front. So I don't know if that was the same time around in America. I think it was the 70s maybe. So before then, you had to go into if you wanted to buy a car, you had to have the full amount, but she made it so that people could sign up to debt. And then obviously the other thing is that the inflation every year, the pay rises don't meet the inflation. So I'm 34 now, so I've been working for, let's say, 18 years, and I would say out of those 18 years, I've had maybe 4 or 5 pay rises. So obviously with the cost of inflation, and I'm not talking about the last year or so and what we're seeing with fuel prices and energy prices, but just in general, I work with guys that in their 50s and 60s that say when they were, you know, in their 30s, they could buy a house for £9,000. That's like about $12,000. And they were earning £1,000 a week easily in the 80s and 90s. And now you're lucky in my industry, you're lucky to get a job for £500 a week, and you have to work 60 hours a week to get, you know, 700-800. So it's, we're you know, the young generation, including myself, I include myself in that, although I don't feel young. You know, the older generation, like my grandparents, they always say, like, what are you doing with your money? And I'm like, but you don't realize how hard it is. Everyone's living paycheck to paycheck. We only make enough to pay for rent, and usually everyone has a car and a, you know, if we're not privileged enough to own a car outright, most cars are £100 to £200 a month. Most rent is in the UK, you could probably be anywhere from £400 to £700-800 a month. So it's really hard. And again, you know, the conspiracy side is that they want us living this way, because when we are, you know, if you were a millionaire, none of this would bother you right now. None of the inflation, none of the lockdown stuff would bother you. So I know there's some, you know.
Well, okay, so what do you say? Okay, because Frankie says no one is making you take a loan. And for as long as I can remember, here in the U.S., if you wanted to buy a house, you wanted to buy a car, you were able to take a loan out to buy it, because in order to sell the cars, you know, if just rich people or people who had the means could just walk into a showroom and purchase a car, car dealers would not make that much money. They make most of their money on people who come in and either they have a loan from the bank or, you know, credit union, or you take the loan out at the dealership. So I'm not understanding why Margaret Thatcher or anyone would be blamed for that. Because if that case, are you going to blame someone else because you took a loan out for a house? Are you going to blame someone because you took a loan out to fix your roof or whatever? No one is making you take out that loan.
Yeah, I get that. In a lot of instances, it is individual responsibility, and you know, no one's making you take that loan. But in a lot, and I do mean the majority, a lot of people are on minimum wage here in the UK. A lot of them are in retail, or even I've worked on building sites, or you know, in most factories there are labourers who make up most of the workforce, and they're on minimum wage. So I worked with guys that were on £350 a week take home, which is disgustingly low. And when you encounter like rent in the UK, as I say, is about £400-500, and that's very cheap. And then a car on top of that, then food, which is over £100 a week. And then you've got, you know, electric and gas and council tax. I honestly look at people and like, how are you surviving? Their cupboards must be bare. They must be living on like pot noodles and things, because it's just disgusting how low the wages have become. Like with inflation every year going up a couple of percent, our workplaces should be putting up our wages a couple of percent to stay with that, you know, inflation. But we are about 10 years behind inflation with all those 2%, 3%, 4% over 10 years. That's, you know, 20, 30% ahead of us. So no wonder people are living that way. And I get your point. Like it's, I've gone through a stage in my younger years where I wanted the best cars. I had a brand new BMW that I paid £400 a month for. It was just stupid. And as you get older, you realize, you know, it's just a car. You know, all you need is something to get you from A to B. But a lot of people can't even afford that. They have to go and buy a cheap runaround from a scrap dealer, a £200-300 runaround to get to work. And to me, I know the other subject I kind of wanted to drift towards was, I know there's a big push for socialism and even communism. I've been on TikTok for 2 months and I'm seeing a lot of communists. Like, it's a huge topic. And I see the argument for it, because I think everyone's sick of being living paycheck to paycheck. And they think that under communism, we'll have a better life because the average of the money going around in the country will be spread over everyone, not just, you know, instead of like doctors and business owners and CEOs getting 100k a year, and then us at the very bottom getting 20k a year, maybe we'll all get like 40 or 50. But that's not how it works. So yeah,
well, you know, I will say this, are wages going up with prices? Absolutely not. No. Prices are going up and wages pretty much have stayed the same. But the responsibility of the individual person, which I talk about a lot, you know, if you're not, unfortunately, if you're not able to afford that car, then don't buy the car. Me, I don't want another car note. The car that I'm driving, I love my car. I'm going to run it into the ground. I don't want a car note because car notes are pretty much the same as rent or a mortgage, and it's ridiculous. You know, but again, when you go out and you take out those loans or whatever, you have to decide for yourself, is this what you want to do? And that's why what Brina said about financial, what was it, Brina? What was the term you used? Financial literacy. Financial literacy is something that everyone needs. Whether you're rich, you're poor, whatever, I think everyone needs some type of financial literacy. And maybe, you know, they don't go out and they buy the BMWs or the Mercedes. Maybe they just take the bus. Or maybe they just walk. I mean, for me, go ahead. Yeah.
Can I push back a little? I think that's a horrible attitude. So you sound as if you're defending the way the world is there. I know you're not, but that's what you sound like. Like, if you can't afford a car, just take the bus. Like, shouldn't we all be saying, no, let's fight against the
absolute no, absolutely. I think that we all should push back, and yes, everyone should be able to fight for higher wages and what have you, you know. But in the meantime, since you're not getting it, then we do have to learn how to cut back. I mean, in California, at least where I am, regular gas, because that's what I put in my car, is like $5.50. Okay. I drive an SUV. You know, it's a gas guzzler. I drive my car maybe once or two times a week. Why? Because I do not want to pay the gas that I have to pay in putting my car. I drive my husband's car most of the time because he has one of those electric plug-in cars that get 58 miles to the gallon. But when I don't drive his car, I'm either walking to the market or I ride my bike. And I'm just saying that until things change, and yes, we all should push back and fight. But I'm not going to, I'm not going to go into the store and spend money on a steak if all I can afford is hamburger. That's what I'm saying. So at what point, until we can fight and get those wages up and we get things the way it should be, people need to cut back, but people don't. You see people like Brina said, people live on credit cards. They know and they spend money on all this credit. And I'm not talking about spending money on credit because you're going to pay the gas bill, the light bill, whatever. I'm talking about spending money on credit because you want to go buy those new pair of shoes, or you want that bag, whatever. Do you really need it? And then when the credit card bill comes, what are you doing? You're paying the minimum payment. So, Bob, you want to push back on me, or?
No, that's you're spot on. Again, I'll say my favorite thing is that's all down to influence as well, and you know, people seeing things. I think you did mention it just before I jumped on about people seeing like your Kim Kardashians and Kanye West with the latest trainers and makeup and things, and they want it, and it's living without their means. But with credit, it's allowing people to do that. And that's where those people need to, individual responsibility, as you say, they need to realize that it's not within their means. So there is that. That's the extreme level. But I just think in general that the cost of living compared to the wages that we see, I can only speak for the UK, and our minimum wage is like £10 an hour. And it's just I don't know how there's not more homelessness. I know when you lose your job, and that again adds into why there is, people that don't work and they sit at home and they get government welfare, because you can slag them all you want, and I do as well. I think it's not a route that I want to go down, but at the same time, I often think, who's the mug? I'm going out there and working 40 to 60 hours a week, killing myself, setting my alarm, and these people are, you know, get better off because they're not only getting the government money, but they're also getting their bills paid for. So they're actually in the plus, whereas I'm, you know, barely making ends meet at times. So it's like, you know, I know there is a lot of people that just, you know, they're lazy and they don't want to work, but there's that side to it as well.
Yeah, but you also have a lot of people who you know, may be on welfare and they do work and they do work hard. You know, when I was working as a paralegal, right when the bankruptcy laws in the U.S. changed in 2005, I filed more. I was an independent and I worked with various lawyers across the country. I made a shitload of money. I mean, I made a shitload of money filing bankruptcy forms or the petitions, whatever you want to call them. And what I learned from doing that is when people file bankruptcy, the first thing people want to say is, oh, you know, they're just a bum or they're this, they're that. And when you look at the paperwork, the majority of people who were filing bankruptcy were doing it because of medical. Because someone in their family had gotten sick and their insurance did not cover it. And they were taking, using their credit cards. They were maxed out on their credit cards. They couldn't pay their credit cards. But when you went to look at those credit card receipts, most of them were for medication, were for bills, you know, whatever. They weren't just some bum who ran to the store and charged up all of this stuff. Were there some people like that? Yes. You know, but the way inflation is now, there's always going to be someone who is sleeping under the freeway. There's always going to be someone who is not going to be able to pay for something, no matter who is in charge. This is just the way it is. How do we change it? But on the other hand, do rich people really have it that, I mean, yeah, they may not be starving, but do they have it hard in a different way?
How do you mean by that? Rich people?
Well, meaning, you know, do rich people, I mean, some people say that rich people don't pay their fair share of taxes. Some of them do. You know, are rich people expected to bear the burden of poor people? And yeah. I'm playing both yeah. sides here. You know, so are, you know, if you work someplace and you need money for your rent and you go to your boss and your boss says, no, I can't give it to you. Do you just assume that they're not giving it to you? Well, they have it. I mean, look, they have this big place or whatever. I mean, are rich people expected to bail out other people?
Yeah, I would say they are, but I don't buy into that. I don't like the premise of, I mean, I can't stand these people like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, but I don't think the argument that they should pay more taxes stands with me, because it sounds a lot like jealousy, a lot of hatred towards these men. You know, there was the thing about, was it Jeff Bezos that flew around in space for a while last year or this year maybe? And everyone was saying, well, he could cure world hunger, and instead he's playing with these toys and going up to space. And it's like, look, he's earned that money. As much as, you know, I'm the first one to say I don't think it was earned right, and it was, you know, on the backs of people and all that. But at the end of the day, you know, he's done his, you know, he's succeeded in life, will we say.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you think about it, Jeff Bezos started Amazon in his garage.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean there is arguments, and you'll never find me defending these men in general, but I don't think the premise of, like, because you earn more, you should pay more. I think everyone should pay a flat tax, and it should be a very, very low. In fact, you know, I'm kind of contradicting myself there, because I would abolish tax. I don't think taxation is fair at all. I would privatize everything and give everyone 100% of their wages. So
now, see, I'm against privatizing things, because I think that when you privatize, those people who are, you know, those same people end up being the people that you didn't like in the first place.
Just a little bit is the reason why that's not the case is because under privatization, you have competition. As long as it's capitalist, you'll have competition springing up everywhere because they want your business. It's the opposite way. When you say, like, communist and socialist, then there only becomes one of each thing.
Yeah, but if you only have one of each thing, I mean, that's one of the problems that we have now here in the U.S. I mean, you have the two-party system, so it's either this one or that one. And if you only have one person who is doing something, that means if you're the one person who is selling rice, then that person can say, okay, well, yesterday rice was 40 cents and now it's 80 cents and then it's a dollar. So you have to make sure that you have at least 10 people selling rice to keep it where one person does not get greedy, because that's what would happen.
Yeah.
I mean, when I look back, and yes, I am dating myself. When I look at some of these old TV shows and I see TWA, does anybody even remember what that airline was? I do. I remember when the airlines, the huge, the Uniteds, the Americans, whatever, that there were literally like 50, 60, 70. Now you have, because they got smaller, you have these certain ones, and when you get on a plane now, you're paying $50 million to fly, when 40 years ago, you were paying $50. You know, so that's why with the private thing, I'm like, because that one person, is going to get to the point where it's going to be just one or two or possibly three, and they're going to bleed you dry, just like we're all being bled dry now. But that's just my opinion. So,
yeah,
747. Yes, yes, shy lady. I mean, even when you look at the phones. I mean, before it was just like one company, and then it was broken up. And I was around. I worked for one of the main companies that broke up, and was responsible for breaking up the way we know phones now, you know. And yes, I am dating myself, you know. But now you have this choice, you have this choice, you have that choice. Before it was like, you're going to pay this, and that is what it is, and that's it. So I don't know, Bob, you want to push back on that, or I just think that when you privatize things, no.
I don't know. I mean, I need to look more into the idea of my utopian dream. I think that privatization is the opposite of what you're saying, but I could be wrong. But I think when something's privatized, then more people, like, say, for instance, the hospital in your town or city, and then they're charging like $400 for an inhaler, let's say. I know that's probably nowhere near the figure. Then another hospital could open up and go, what are they charging, $400? Well, we'll charge $350. And then, you know, that's how privatization works. There's always business. But under the government that we have, we basically live in socialized, a socialism world. Although it's sold to us as capitalism, it's only capitalism for your elites. We don't, because it's not a free market. So it's not true capitalism. If you start a business tomorrow, the government are breathing down your neck. They want fees from you. They want registration fees. They want taxes. And that's what, you know, it rules everyone out of opening their businesses is all those fees. But for the government and for, you know, these Bezos and Elon Musks, they don't have that. They don't even pay tax. And they even boast about it. They tell us every year, Apple haven't paid tax. Donald Trump didn't pay his taxes. Amazon don't pay tax. It's like, because they know the loopholes. So it's, you know, one door for them and one door for us.
Okay. So Bob, then let me ask this. So, you know, people are, you know, getting on Bill Gates for a lot of things that he's starting to buy up and what have you. Him buying farmland. Hello, everybody. That right there is telling you there's going to be a food shortage. Yeah. But, you know, but these, now you have these people like the Gates and the Bezos and the Musk and what have you, who can go out and open up a business and they can privatize. Hell, Bezos with Amazon, that's pretty much what he did. People will spend money on Amazon before they'll, you know, go on online and spend money at a different place. And for me, one reason why I spend money there is because I can pretty much get it the next day, but maybe I should be more willing to wait. But when you have, but that is what you're going to get. You're going to get the people who have the money and the means to make things private. And then they're going to end up being the Gates, the Musks, you know, whatever. And then everybody's going to be pissed.
Yep. No, so, I mean,
and, but I then again, I could be wrong when I see, go on.
I think it breeds competition. Basically the idea of, you know, if we all got 100% of our wages and didn't have to pay tax, we have the freedom to choose what we spend our money on rather than have it taken from the government to go to pay the healthcare system, the police, the roads, you know, all that kind of stuff. You can pay into the school even, you know, the premise of having money taken from your weekly wage to pay for schools, even if you do not have kids, is what I just can't get behind that. And I know people will defend having to pay taxes, which I would say that's the Stockholm syndrome. It's you're believing in something because you've been conditioned to believe in the government that they care for us when they really don't. I would rather have 100% of my wages and be able to buy better food, because that was something I ranted about maybe on one of your shows, where you have supermarkets here in the UK that are better quality of food. You go into them and you see the apples are nice and shiny and fresh, and then you go into a normal supermarket and, you know, it's half the price, but it's dirty, GMO, like bruised, rotted after 2 days. Like, you buy a load of shopping here in the UK and you have to eat it within a couple of days because it all goes out of date. And that's, again, you know, I'll leave it at that. I just think there is a lot of problems with the system.
It is.
I don't think that, you know, my thoughts on the government, they are not for us. They're not for us.
Well, I will say one thing, and Shy Lady, I know you are waiting, so, and thank you, but I will say this, is when it comes to taxes, I do believe everybody, it should be one tax, and everyone should pay the same amount, no matter how much money, you know, you are making. And I am 100% not for, I do not like the fact that my tax money is going towards schools. I didn't like it when my son was in school, because my son he went to a private school before he was homeschooled. So it's like, why am I paying taxes for stuff that I don't use? And that is 100%. I do not believe that if your child is not going to a public or government run school, then you should have to pay taxes. And I am dead set on that. So, and thank you, everyone. Thank you very much for liking the show. Shy Lady, welcome. Thank you for waiting patiently.
Hi, thank you. It's so funny that you said that you don't like paying tax.
You just went out, Shy Lady. Okay. Are you back? Okay, I think she got a phone call. I don't know if you got a phone call or you're having... Okay, now I can hear you.
No, it was me.
Oh, that's you. Oh, okay. Yeah,
she's,
all right.
She's jumped off.
Okay, shy lady. Oh, okay. See, I still see her, so maybe she'll pop back in. Okay. So Bob,
a small comment on the reason for... I think that one of the main reasons I'm against taxation is because when you, like I said on a previous show, I think it was, that I have a breakdown given to me every year of where my taxes have gone. And the last time I checked, I had £6,000 taken annually to pay for the NHS. And let's say £3,000 or £4,000 went
okay,
to the fire.
What is NHS?
That's our healthcare system. It's okay. Socialized healthcare. So basically £6,000 went to the hospitals in the UK. And then £3,000 or £4,000 went to the police department in the UK. And what that tells me is, regardless whether you use them or not, like you're talking about the schools, if you don't have a child in school, then why should you pay for it? And that's the problem is when police is the main one to use. So the police are getting their wages regardless whether there's crime or not. So if you pay them, which I believe if police departments were privatized, which would mean they would have to get out there and look for business. So if I have my house burgled or I'm mugged in the streets or a crime is done against me, I would march down to my local police station and pay them by the hour or pay them per job and get a bill in and pay them out of my 100% wages. Mm. And that's how I work. I don't know
if I want the police looking for business, because some police, they look for business, and I don't know if I like
not like look for business as in like create business, I'm saying, but they're sitting there, it's like you and I don't get paid if we don't work, so why should any other person in the world get paid if they don't work? And then what that breeds is you can take insurance policies for safety. Like I can have an insurance policy on my home that I don't get burgled, and then the police would have to make sure that there's no burglary. They're doing the best they can to stop that from happening. Otherwise, my insurance policy would have to pay out, you know? So it's like the whole premise of being paid, whether you do a good job or not. Even with our hospital here in the UK, the doctors get their annual salary, whether they do a good job or not. And then I know I'm a pessimist, but I think a lot of doctors know that and they don't do as good a job as they should be doing. So that's why taxation is bad, in my opinion.
Okay. Shy lady, are you back?
Yeah, I am. I was actually in my car and I was in the garage, and I think that's what happened. So, yeah, I'm back, and I don't know if you heard what I was saying. I was saying that I had that conversation.
That's as far as you got. I heard that comment.
Okay, what I was saying is that my daughter and I had this conversation yesterday. That's why I thought it was so interesting you brought that up, because we were talking about how my youngest son is going away to college. He's graduated from high school, so now he's going away to college. And, you know, she said, you know, I don't think it's right that if you don't have kids in school, that you should pay taxes. I said, you're right, because I never really thought about it before, because my kids were in school and he also went to private school last year. So I agree. I don't think that's right. I also don't think it's right for I remember when my daughter was in high school, she would tell me that some of the kids were illegal in her school, but yet they were to me, in my opinion, they were living better than the kids who were born here in America, because she said they were wearing $200 Jordans and they were getting free lunch, and you know their families, you know, weren't paying taxes, but we were paying for their medical, for them to have medical. And I just think there's so many things that need to be adjusted in America that just doesn't seem right as far as our taxes are concerned.
Well, let me ask both you and Bob this, and anyone that is on the panel, and everyone. I will tell you this is going to be a shorter show today, so I'm letting you guys know that. So let me ask you both this: if we don't have taxes, then what about our roads and what have you? If the roads have potholes or they need to be fixed, or you need a new freeway ramp, or you need that stop sign, which then sooner or later is going to go from a stop sign to having an actual stoplight or whatever. What do you do? Who is in charge of building the federal offices like our DMVs to go for your driver's test and what have you, and all these other places that you have to go? Where is that money coming from?
I want to say this. I am not against paying taxes because those things are necessary. What I don't like is, like I said, examples of paying for education. You don't have kids that are going to school, or paying for people who are illegally in the United States who are getting medical coverage, paying for them to have medical coverage, and they don't pay taxes. That's not right. That's not right to me.
No, I mean, and I understand that. So again, I'm saying, so you're okay if your taxes just went to fixing the road and building that new DMV office or that post office or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Bob?
See, I'm not opposed to small taxation or even like local government, like councils we have here in the UK. If you pay them a certain amount to maintain the roads, I'm not opposed to that at all. Or again, with the idea of, in my utopian dream, that video that I've sent, I'm sure a few of yous on here, is that DROs or basically insurance companies are like the highest level of power when there's no government. And you pay them what you want to pay them. If you want to open a policy to protect your house, they then work for their money. They then have to make sure that it's safe in the neighborhood. They have to, if you insure your car, they then have to make sure the roads are fine. So they're working for their money. If you pay a £30 premium a month and there's like a million people in your city, that's £30 that everyone can choose to pay in. And then they have to maintain the roads, because if they start getting an influx of people claiming for chips on their bonnet or cracked windscreens or something, then they'll be like, right, we're paying out a lot of money here. Let's fix it. So what's happening? Oh, we'll go and see the local council. We'll get them to fix those potholes. Because what, like, if anyone's rolling their eyes at that idea right now, what's the alternative? We're paying all this taxes, yet our roads, I don't know about you guys in America, but our roads are an absolute disgrace. My ADS light has been on for about a year because I hit a pothole. It's every day you hit potholes. It's a disgrace. So all the money that we are paying in tax, plus we have car tax, and we pay that annually as well. It's about £170. Where's that money going? Because it's clearly not going to the roads. The roads are a disgrace. So something needs to be done.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read what D-Max says. D-Max says, our property tax is going to be different for you and your neighbor for living in the same block because you don't have a kid in school. Possibly. You know, I'm just saying that because my property taxes are ridiculous. And again, you know, if my tax bill comes down because I'm not paying for somebody else's kid to go to school, I'm for it 100%. So D-Max says, you agree when you move to the neighborhood where the property, we're going to go. Yeah. Yeah. You know, but when I move, then my neighborhood, my city has only been a city since 2010. It was nothing but a bunch of cows. I was one of the first people here. I mean, we had nothing here. It was nothing but cows and cows and cows and cows and cows. It's all you smell was cows, you know, and my property taxes were not high, but then they started building and building and building and building and building and building. Now my property taxes are extremely high, but I know people across the country are paying high property taxes also. You know, but does that mean that my taxes have to be so high because I'm paying for your kid to, you know, go to school? And then when you look at those schools that those kids are even going to, back in the day when I was in school, we went on field trips. We had gym, we had tennis, we had band, we had all that stuff. Now I'm paying all this money for your kid to go to school, and your kid is not getting anything. They're getting nothing. So I don't know. And I know all the money is not going towards the school. So, welcome, Chill. Not at the beginning, not our property taxes, because we were not a city. We were at the we were at the behest of the town over. So, so Bosh, Shy Lady, do you guys want to say anything or?
No, I'm good.
Can I just tell you, Shy Lady, whenever you say that, Ma is like, is she really? Oh boy. And I'm like, yeah, she is, she is. So, you know, I mean, but again, I do believe that we do need tax in some form, because the roads do need to be fixed. We do need street lights and what have you. So let me go back to my original thing so I can tie the show up with my original subject is, should people who are rich or have the means, or they're at a certain income level, should they be the ones that we say, can you fix that pothole? Can you put up that street light? Can you do this? I mean, should they have to pay more? Because technically, at least here in the U.S., you're supposed to pay taxes based on how much money you make. So, and even here in California, based on the type of car you drive, well, not so much the type of car you drive, based on how much money you spent on your car is how much you are going to spend on your tags. So, which I think is crazy, you know, but that's what it is. So should people who have more money at a certain level be required to foot the bill for the road, the schools, the libraries, the post office, you know? So what do you all think? I mean, should they? Should they not?
I'll just add a comment. I don't think it's fair. Just because they were blessed or fortunate, whatever you want to call it, to be in a better position financially than the person who isn't or who didn't make the choices that they did, I don't think it's fair.
Okay. All right. I don't think it's fair either. I was just asking the question. So, okay, I'm going to start wrapping this up. Crucible, welcome.
Hi, everyone. Yeah, just real quick. I don't think it's fair either. You know, we have this thing that goes around every election year or so. You know, certain groups of people need to pay their quote unquote fair share. Nobody really ever defines what that fair share is. So, yeah, I don't think it's fair at all. But it'd be like, you know, a similar kind of an analogy is if you're living in a family and one of your siblings becomes very successful and becomes very wealthy and you're not doing so well, and you say to them, you know, well, can you give me, not loan me, can you give me $10,000 because I need it for this, that, or the other thing? And they say, well, why should I do that? Well, you have it and I don't. And they say, well, that's not fair. So yeah, it's a very subjective thing. It's a very slippery slope. When we say things like fair, it's in the eyes of the beholder. What's fair to you is maybe not fair to me. So I agree with all you guys. I do not think it's fair.
Okay.
Bye. I just want to end up with a little thought that I often have is it just me, or do any of you guys ever just sit and think, like, we only get one life, or so we're told, and you think it's fine that we work for 50 years of it and we're lucky to get 5 or 10 years at the end of our lives when we're, you know, all old and decrepit and can hardly walk and we've got medical issues? And I just think it's such a sad existence. I don't want to bum anyone down, but it is. It's like the system and the life that we've been handed, it's just not, you know, it's just we should all be wanting better. And this conversation about finances is, everyone says money isn't everything and money can't buy happiness, but I think that's a lie. I genuinely do. I think you need money in this world, because our world is structured in that way where everything costs money. And you know, I do envy the people who have, you know, there was a TikTok today I watched about like some African tribes, and they're always laughing and dancing, and you know, they're hunting for fish, and they're you know, all their culture, the music, all the good things, like the music and that, it all came from that part of the world, because they're a happy bunch, because they don't have anything and they're happy. And sometimes I think, you know, there's that as well, but I just feel that we should be fighting together for a better life. Meanwhile, the 1%, they get to live the life that they want, and we're all struggling paycheck to paycheck. So sorry to bum anyone down, but
you didn't bum me down. Yeah. Now, Grit says agrees with you, Bob. Brina says money would make me happy. Shy Lady agrees with you, Ba. And Angie says that's true, but we will be working till we are carried out. And exactly, not having money sucks. No, you're right, Ba. But I'm gonna have to disagree with you, son, because hold on. Only because said that, you know, that there was that tribe or whatever. So can money buy happiness? Because there are people, and I'm just disagreeing with you on this point. You do have people who have a shitload of money and they are miserable as hell. You have people who have all this money and they're lonely. They have nothing. You know, they don't have friends. They're just miserable. But then at the same time, you have people who don't have money, who are the same way. Alpha Mike says, I was thinking about this last night. Actually, our world isn't built for our future. It's built for a rich and greedy. And as far as I'm concerned, the United States has always been built for the rich and greedy from day one. And Crucible says, yes, money can buy some level of contentment, but not happiness. You know, I don't know. Money is nice to have. You can pay the bills, whatever. But would you guys want to, let me throw this out to you before I end it. Let me read what Shy Lady says. There's nothing wrong with working to die. I don't want to be sitting up watching TV on my butt. I want to be active and productive until I die. Shy Lady, me too. And I try to stay productive as much as possible. So let me ask this. Would you guys, if you all won the lottery, or you guys had a business that was just, you know, it took off and it was just making a shitload of money and you all were doing so well, whatever, but you come home every day and you look at your family and everybody's miserable. You know, your wife doesn't like you. You don't like your wife for whatever reason. Your family is just miserable. Is money going to change that?
Sometimes money's the cause of that unhappiness.
Yeah, definitely. I think an analogy I would use is last month I went on a short it was a 2-week holiday, but we did a lot. We went to London, we went to York, we went to Copenhagen, and when I came home, I was just like, this is where the idea, and I have thought of that analogy that I told you guys just now of thinking about only having one life, and is this it? And when I got home from that 2-week trip, I'm thinking, why can't we all, you know what Shy Lady said there, you know, there's nothing wrong with working, I don't want to be sitting around. I'm not saying like sit around, but I'm saying like enjoy life. Like, why do we have to be, you know, slaves to money and not be able to just, you know, explore the world with our loved ones, like see the world? There's people that will live and die and never leave their country. And that's a real tragedy. Like, we're supposed to only be here once. And surely in that lifetime.
But do you need money to explore the country? You have people who will put on a backpack and they will do whatever they can to go from city to city, state to state, and they are happy. Mm-hmm. So, I guess it all depends on what you consider happiness too.
Yeah. There is the extreme examples that you were saying there about, you know, the very, very rich being not always happy, and then there's always the very poor that are not always sad, you know, and that's mindset as well. So, but I'm saying it as a whole. Most people are living paycheck to paycheck and struggling, and depression and issues in the home, you know, it can all add to that. So, yeah.
Well, okay. No, I totally get what you're saying. I just want to read what Angie says. Angie, what did you say? Right, you said agreed, but you want some time to enjoy, not work to my dying day. And Charlotte says no. I'm assuming you're saying no amount of money will change that example. And Angie says yes or yay. So, all right, everybody. So I have to end early, but thank you for coming. I do appreciate it, and I appreciate the dialogue, and I hope somewhere we all win the lotto at some point. But I will say this. As you get older, your lifespan is getting shorter. So whatever you guys want to do, try to, you know, do it. Even if you do it and you fail, at least you did try. Because every day we get older and older and older. We may have the same number for a year, but every day we get older and older and older. So make the best of it. So, Shy Lady, you have a good day, and everyone else have a good day. And yes, Bob, go where the wind takes you. All right. Thank you, Grit. Everyone, thank you so much. Cruz Boba, Shy Lady, thank you for coming up on the panel. Brina, thank you always for your chat. And Ninja Bunny, thank you for being my billionaire for this this podcast. Grit, Power Girl, Frankie, Angie, Alpha Mike, everyone who was here, Jean-Baptiste, D-Mac, thank you. Thank you all for coming. If I missed anyone, I apologize. So on that note, guys, enjoy the rest of your day, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Bye. We'll be working until we are carried out. That's what I wanted to read, Angie. I didn't. Oh, boy. Enjoy your day, guys. Bye. I do appreciate you.